from the book, you see. And Imam says that, if I'm not mistaken, either them or the coming Mahdi will have 25 parts of ilm, and 2 parts of ilm are with Allah Himself. The 2 parts that are not with the Imam is with Allah Himself for him. And that's why we have this story of this one. We have another story of certain mystics being able to turn things into gold.
Yes.
Alchemists. And we have more. We have many of this kind of, for example, Ibn Sina.
Yes, Avicenna.
He's a physician.
Yes.
A doctor.
Yes, yes.
He would be able to tell you a disease just by holding your finger.
Yeah, tip of your finger, that's right.
That kind of diqqat and attention that it requires, it has some kind of knowledge. I'm not saying that this knowledge is ilmu min al-kitab. I'm just trying to bring that a normal person, if he works hard, does reach a small part of that stage that he could have something from this ilm. And if you see in the time of our imams, it's not only our imam had this kind of knowledge. Their companions, some of them would have this kind of small bits and pieces. Today we have something called as deja vu.
Yes.
You see, this kind of, some of them, they can be divided, but few of them is related to khabare ayande, an information, a
yes.
news of the later,
yes.
of the future.
Of the future,
that you know, someone can see in his dream and then afterwards realize, oh, I have seen this in my dream, you see. So it's there. Now, which part? A small part. So if the imam is getting a part of it, we are getting maybe a part of a very big part that the imam has gotten. If we are reaching in that level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoys and gives us this good tidings and news. Because one of the things that it's this part of ilm is when it's given to someone, Allah calls it a good news.
Okay.
You see? And a lot of this ilm al-ghaib that we are talking about, the first version, if you remember, the one that is sensorical,
yes.
is that the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the news of historical incidents and the hereafter incidents, of which a lot of hereafter incidents are right now proven by scientists.
Yes.
Of which at the time, 1,400 years ago, they never used to be there. For example, about the star, I forgot its name, I recently found out. There's a star that gives a sound of a knock.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, the scientists discovered this star and saw that this star is making a knock sound.
Mm-hmm.
This star is actually there in the Holy Quran. There is a specific name. I just forgot it. But if you find out, if you research on Google and write the star that makes a knocking sound and Quran, you will see that that star is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of news that we are given right now is ilm al-ghaib in the Quran that either recently took place, or for those people, at least at the time of the Prophet, it was an ilm al-ghaib that Khuda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned in the Quran that has been proven right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many more to be proven in the future when the scientists will be able to reach that capacity of being able to identify these miracles and this good news.
That's right.
IRIB English Radio presents questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Answering your theological questions in questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glory is to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
Now, one important question is that, for example, if an imam knew that, for example, in the future, on such a day, on such a night, on such an incident, will be killed. Why he doesn't stop it, or could he do something else? Is it a kind of, for example, committing suicide, self-killing, if he knew the exact, for example, incidents that took place to himself or the people around?
So if you see that, even if the imam knows, for example, we have the story of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam, when he told his companion that I am giving my hand of friendship to Ibn Muljim, but he's looking to kill me. You see, it was around that time when Amirul Mumineen told Ibn Muljim that you want to come and kill me, and Ibn Muljim told him, no, I can't kill you. Like, you are, I believe in you. I have this and that. His companion asked him the similar question. Amirul Mumineen, when you know that he is going to kill you, why don't you arrest him? Mm-hmm. The reply of Amirul Mumineen says that there is no punishment for an act that hasn't taken place mm-hmm. yet. You see, me having the news of the future of the INA, for example, we have a lot of scholars that they knew the day that they are going to die. And some of the best stories that you can find are from the shuhadas, the martyrs.
That's right.
Many of the martyrs, after doing research in their lifestyle and stuff, we come to realize that these martyrs were saying something that did not make sense at the time of their life. But after they pass away, it starts making sense. For example, they say that I'll be going to Najaf and I might not come back, for example. And this is the day that I will meet maybe Hazrat Fatima or something like that. So he was actually giving news of his passing away before that day. So these are those ilme ghaib from the smaller version of it, not the main version. Now, why do imam do not save themselves? Here is a question that the purpose of ilme ghaib is to be able to accomplish the missions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not use it for their own purposes. We can see in the riwayat that there is one person who used that knowledge for himself. And then gave people, then deceived people. And that person is someone who was left down. He was a great follower of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam when Hazrat Musa went to the mountain. And this guy was there and he could see Hazrat Jibreel, or he could see the footprints of Hazrat Jibreel. And he used that dust from the foot and then throw it on the calf. Yes. That's how the sound came to exist. So there are people that use it on their benefit. But is the imam's intention to use the knowledge that they have for their benefit? No. Mm-hmm. However, they don't rush to it. For example, in the case of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we know that Imam Hussein, even though he knew that he's going to die, shahadat is a very good thing. Mm-hmm. And normally we want to go towards that road. But we try to bring obstacles and try to better it. The same thing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. So when he was stopped outside the outskirts and he was told that we are supposed to go somewhere, the Imam said that I was called by the people of Kufa. If I'm not allowed to enter, at least allow me to return to Medina.
Yes.
You see? So if you see even the movements that is caused, it's only the incidents that came forward.
Yes.
But still, Imam was not allowed to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he had an option.
Yes.
You see? So first he was called by the 14,000 people, and that's why he was. So it is like this, that they went for Hajj, and because they were ready to kill Imam al-Hussein, they came out of there and then they went to Kufa after receiving these letters or around that period. And when they were reaching Kufa, they were stopped from there. And then slowly, slowly, the incidents cause and effect, made them reach to Karbala. You see,
that's
of
right.
Which how they reached to Karbala is a very brief story into it.
Yes.
But at every point, Imam tried to refrain from war with the condition that I will not give bay'ah to Yazid.
Yes.
You see, now here it was not because of him, it was because of Islam.
That's
so
right.
He does not give bay'ah to Yazid and therefore ends up attaining Shahada around that time.
Thank you very much, Brother Suhail, for a nice elaboration regarding Ilm al-Ghaib, the knowledge of the hidden, and also the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husayn wa hasan li aliyin wa husayn وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي بتهران
روباشافت غازا
جروم هيوز بروسلز
سعيد بورزا لندن
راشا ساقلم استنبول
سيد امين عالمي كابول
شهان بات اندين ادمنستيرد كشمير
Round the world with reporters
The Resistance Festival in Brussels has gathered Palestinian rights campaigners from across Belgium and beyond. Israel's murder of innocent civilians and the regime's ongoing illegal activities in the occupied territories has been highlighted.
The Nakba has been going for three quarters of a century now, and we're talking about brutal colonialism and occupation in its most ugly form imaginable. Yeah, people are angry.
Apartheid, ethnic cleansing, segregation, siege, all forms of ethnic cleansing and colonialism. The Palestinian political prisoners also.
Tel Aviv authorities continue to destroy Palestinian homes and develop stolen land for settlers. Activists are calling on everyone living in the EU to stop buying Israeli products.
Yes, I think there should be boycotts, I think there should be sanctions, I think there should be punishment.
I think it's absolutely vital that we continue to support them in their struggle against fascism and imperialism.
We are here, helpless and hopeless sometimes, we feel. And we cannot protect our people in Gaza. This is painful, very painful.
Even though the United Nations classifies Israel's activities as illegal under international law, the EU seems to suggest that both sides are to blame for the occupation.
We are consistently urging all parties to exercise maximum restraint and not to contribute to escalation, but to the contrary.
When it comes to the war in Ukraine, there is no such mixed messaging from the EU. Russia has always been the only aggressor, end of story. Rights campaigners say Palestinians will be free eventually, insisting it's simply a matter of time.
Given that the European Union is so willing to impose sanctions when it falls in line with the wishes of the United States, those gathered here are calling on EU leaders to finally muster some courage and put Israel under real pressure. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
When climate activists were tear-gassed, abused, and arrested by police in Paris, the Western mainstream media broadcast shock and alarm at state brutality towards nonviolent protesters. Many of France's yellow vests were glad the subject was reported upon, but the group which has been subject to more French police brutality than any group in recent memory wonders why their weekly protests and mistreatment are still under a media blackout.
Chaque samedi, bientôt cinq ans.
Every Saturday for nearly 5 years, the yellow vests have been in the streets. In the big cities and the small towns, we make our legitimate demands for democratic and economic rights, and we won't stop until we get them.
Many were shocked this month when a woman who was not participating in a 2019 yellow vest demonstration and had been shot in the neck by a tear gas grenade was just judged to be co-responsible for her injuries.
The judge said that the mother, who had gotten lost in a strange city while visiting her daughter, should have known that serious incidents had occurred at recent protests. The decision, refused to find fault with the state's actions, seems to negate a citizen's right to travel freely and will likely scare many away from even observing a yellow vest protest.
Un état totalitaire.
We aren't in a dictatorship, but in a totalitarian situation. The state wants everybody to keep quiet and to agree with whatever they say. This lack of democracy, why the yellow vests began in the first place. It wasn't over just gas prices. This woman's situation is one dramatic situation, but there are so, so many others like her.
On June 6th, a million-person march is expected, the 15th this year, in the ongoing fight against a two-year hike to the retirement age by presidential decree. Police brutality is expected to be even more rampant than at the previous such march on May 1st.
Pour leur physique de venir en manifestation.
The people are afraid for their own physical safety when they come to a protest now. There are so many arrests, so much violence, and constant tear gas. This is the reason why the number of people joining us dropped, even as our national problems keep growing worse.
Besides their Saturday marches, the Yellow Vests are present at seemingly every public protest in France, and often around Europe as well. They regularly contend that they are willfully ignored by the government and media, because the basis of their movement is economic and political redistribution. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Al-Quds International Institution has held its annual meeting of the Board of Trustees in Damascus. The meeting was attended by Palestine's ambassador to Syria, Syria-based Palestinian factions, and Syrian President Assad's political and media advisor, Buthayna Sha'ban, who is also board secretary in the institution. She called for the unity of the Arab and Islamic world in order to liberate Palestine. She set the case of Syria as an example for Palestinians that victory is undoubtedly the result of steadfastness.
Arabs have returned back to Syria. The difficult experience Syria went through for over a decade is a beautiful lesson for Palestinians that those who believe in their cause the most will triumph. President Assad's presence in the Arab League summit is not just a victory announcement for Syria, but also signals the failure of huge plots made by strongest world powers.
Speakers highlighted the heroic resistance of Palestinians in the battle codenamed Revenge of the Free in the Gaza Strip. They called for confronting Israeli attempts to Judaize Al-Aqsa Mosque, reiterating that Quds will remain the eternal capital of Palestine. The meeting comes following an Arab League summit and reconciliations between Iran and Saudi Arabia, as well as Syria and the Arab world. Such developments, according to speeches delivered, indicate that the world is heading towards a multipolar system where the West's hegemony is demolished. Speakers underlined the importance of reminding the world of the Palestinian cause and the suffering of the people of Palestine caused by the Israeli occupation. Despite the decades-long Western double standards, institutions like this believe that Palestinians' steadfastness will eventually lead them to restoring their rights. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
UN bodies issue fresh warnings about the impacts of huge fan gaps in Afghanistan. The latest such warning comes from the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Afghanistan, which says urgent funding is needed to avert an imminent large-scale humanitarian catastrophe. Afghan experts are also worried about funds drying up and the international community turning its eyes from the war-torn nation.
Definitely, the only way out of the Afghanistan crisis is constructive engagement between the ruling Taliban and the global community. This year, hopes of heeding Afghanistan's appeal for financial aid are fading, and it is very threatening. Shortfalls in funding absolutely deal another devastating blow to the Afghan nation, especially the most vulnerable citizens. We will witness more poverty, unemployment, and devastation in Afghanistan if funds continue to dry up.
The United Nations has launched a humanitarian appeal for $4.62 billion to assist nearly 24 million Afghans in 2023. However, the appeal has received very little support so far, with only 6.4% of the required funding secured. This has forced many aid organizations to scale back their activities, leaving many without help.
Aid cuts are a disaster. People like us are eyeing international assistance. We have no job and income, so relief aid can be a lifeline for us. Some are sick, they need free treatment. Some are in dire need of food and cash aid. People will die in their houses and on the streets in the absence of global aid. They have no money for themselves. First, they are relying on God's mercy, and second, on the relief aid.
Major aid cuts, Western sanctions, and the freezing of Afghan assets by the U.S. are exacerbating Afghanistan crisis. Afghans have been calling on the U.S. to release the funds and to lift the sanctions, saying they are hurting and punishing innocent people who are already suffering from poverty, famine, and hunger. Afghanistan is facing a severe funding shortfall that threatens the lives of millions of Afghan people. Aid agencies warn that the global community must act urgently to prevent a humanitarian disaster. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
South Korea and the U.S. Thursday began large-scale joint military exercises just 25 kilometers south of the fortified border with North Korea. The drills utilize some 600 weapons, including stealth fighter jets, attack helicopters, and South Korea's homegrown K2 tanks. Participants suggest the drills are meant to be a warning.
I think it sends a message generally to the whole world about how strong the alliance is, and that conducting these readiness exercises builds our credibility as an alliance.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol has sought to respond assertively to North Korea's missile and nuclear development, in lockstep with American forces, which have 28,500 troops in South Korea. For South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, these drills demonstrate peace through strength, the policy of promoting a strong alliance with the United States. Detractors argue that these drills will upset China, provoke North Korea, and generate a regional arms race. North Korea views such drills as a rehearsal for invasion and has previously vowed to respond militarily. And some South Koreans suggest the drills damage the prospects for peace.
When dialogue between the two Koreas progressed, dialogue between the U.S. and North Korea progressed, and large-scale military exercises were suspended, easing tensions and bringing peace. Large-scale military exercises don't enhance the security of South Korea. Rather, they undermine South Korea's security.
Four more rounds of similar large-scale joint U.S.-South Korea live-fire drills are scheduled through mid-June. Frank Smith, Pochon, South Korea.
During the Tel Aviv regime's 11-day offensive in 2021, Israeli warplanes carried out one of the most horrendous massacres in one of the most densely populated neighborhoods in Gaza. The attacks destroyed three residential buildings, killing 44 civilians, including 18 children. Rescue teams took days to pull the bodies from under the rubble. Riyad Shkuntana and his six-year-old daughter were among the survivors.
When the Israeli warplanes hit the building where we used to live in 2021, we were buried under the destroyed building. I spent 12 hours under the rubble before the rescue team could save me. I could hear the screams of my children calling me from under the debris. But my daughter Susie and I were the only survivors of my family. They told me that my wife and four of my children hadn't been able to make it when they found their bodies.
During the latest Israeli attack on the Gaza Strip, the family suffered again. Israeli jet fighters targeted the apartment adjacent to theirs.
I was playing with my cousins in the other room. Suddenly we heard a massive explosion. I directly rushed to my grandma. I was screaming and crying. The house was filled with smoke. I was frightened that the building might fall on us. We realized that the building next to ours was targeted. We escaped from our apartment, and so did all the other residents.
Susie hasn't been able to speak about the 2021 incident ever since it happened. She becomes speechless anytime she remembers what happened to her and her family back then. Talking to Press TV, her father asserted that there is no safe place in Gaza for his daughter, even though they demanded international protection after the 2021 incident.
It's all lies. Palestinian civilians are never protected from Israeli attacks. We don't trust international protection regulations. She had therapeutic sessions for 2 years, but my daughter is still suffering, and that memory haunts her anytime she hears a loud sound. She deserves to live in peace and security.
Suzy Shkuntana is an example of thousands of Palestinian children who suffer from trauma under the Israeli occupation.
According to reports, 90% of Gaza children suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, which indicates the extent of physical and psychological violence they experience under the Israeli occupation. Palestinian children have the right to enjoy a life of peace and safety rather than a life of horror and insecurity. Al Asif, Gaza.
The Islamic Center of England, a registered British religious charity in London, temporarily closed months after its Muslim trustees were removed by the UK's aid watchdog, the Charity Commission, over what it called the trustees' failure to comply with their legal duties and responsibilities and their failure to protect the charity's assets. The commission appointed an interim manager to the charity in early May. That interim manager is Emma Moody, a non-Muslim with the law firm Womble Bond Dickinson.
A charity is there to serve a group of people. It's supporters, people who use it, and indeed has to address their needs, their aspiration from a religious or within their statutory of the charity. And that has been ignored. I mean, it's been ignored because what we are seeing now, appointing a secular, non-Muslim sort of lawyer all the way in sort of north of England to run and to sort of dictate what should happen in a mosque and in a charity, it really is outrageous.
It all started with a warning from the charity regulator over a vigil held here in 2020 for revered Iranian military commander General Qasem Soleimani, assassinated in a U.S. drone attack in Baghdad, Iraq, in the same year. The man who spoke at the event says no laws were broken.
Sardar Soleimani wasn't prescribed, or the organization he worked for wasn't prescribed, and he's still not prescribed. He was sanctioned, financial sanction, for issue of Syria. Now, when somebody dies and you talk about that person, you're not supporting financially the person. He's already dead. You know, there is no issue of breaking the sanction. It's outrageous that a charity commission, an organization we're supposed to support, will actually become so political that actually sort of misinterprets the law.
In the early 2000s, the British government and the Charity Commission initiated a program calling on all UK mosques to become registered charity. And by doing so, critics say, control what those Muslim institutions could or could not say outside of what is lawful.
We reached out to the authorities here, but they declined to comment. We were told unofficially, though, that the real reason behind the temporary closure of the center, done on the advice of the interim manager, was something to do with insurance, which they hope would be resolved and the doors to the center reopened to the public soon. Saeed Purza, London.
Lebanon has marked the 23rd anniversary of the liberation of South Lebanon from Israeli occupation. On this year's anniversary, Beirut was seen to a conference on the resistance front's fight against the world arrogance. The meeting, held by the Global Gathering in Support of the Choice of Resistance, was attended by guests from over 60 countries. The four-day congregation's theme is the resilience of the axis of resistance and its role in breaking the siege, ending sanctions, and overthrowing normalization.
This is more than necessary now. You need the people against this American-Israel aggression, because we have the same problem everywhere. You know this very good from the Middle East. I'm from Serbia. We know it as well from the Balkans. But now they start to attack the other European countries because they only use terrorism, like they kill General Soleimani.
Some participants said the liberation of southern Lebanon in 2000 and other victories for the resistance front in the last few decades are catalysts for a shift to a multipolar world.
Definitely, there's been a huge change in the world. First, because of the strength of the resistance in our region and the defeat of the American troops in Iraq, Afghanistan, in Lebanon, in Syria. This is now infecting the whole world in hope to escape American hegemony. So we see even this shift of multipolarity actually started because of the resistance in our region.
Western guests present in the conference believe there is growing awareness on the need for resistance against arrogant powers.
The awareness itself is shaped by resistance. So the actual victories in Palestine, in Syria, in Cuba, in Venezuela, these are the things that really shape people's consciousness. But we in the gathering here want to reinforce the values that people have a proper understanding of the importance of the centrality of resistance for human liberation.
An attendee said the resistance front is capable of putting an end to the Israeli regime's relentless atrocities against Palestinians.
Israel has become now a fascist regime. Israel has become a barbaric and a racist and a totalitarian regime. That is the only country in the world which has been supported by Western hegemony and also NATO. But their time, it is nearer. And the resistance and the people of the world, through the international solidarity movement, they will find ways to dismantle the Israeli apartheid regime.
The delegations will be taking a tour to villages in southern Lebanon. They will also pay an official visit to Syria to show solidarity with Damascus in the face of U.S. sanctions. Major transformations in recent years have caused more and more people to resonate with the values of resistance. Participants here consist of not only Lebanese and Palestinians, but people from around the world who are against the aggressive policies of Israel and the United States. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
The limelight. With just a few days to go before the United States was projected to hit the debt ceiling and run out of funds to pay the nation's bills, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden have struck a deal to suspend the debt limit. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. With just a few days to go before the U.S. was projected to hit the debt ceiling and run out of funds to pay the nation's bills, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden have struck a deal to suspend the debt limit. And Congress is expected to vote as soon as this week. Under the deal, the debt limit will be suspended until the first quarter of 2025. Beyond the 2024 presidential election. rather than raising the debt ceiling by a specific dollar amount, suspending it allows Congress to define a period of time before the debt limit would need to be addressed again. Taking this approach ensures that it can be used for political advantage during the presidential campaigns. It leaves the next fight over a debt ceiling for a new administration and Congress soon after the 2024 presidential elections. Republicans originally sought a 10-year cap on spending at fiscal year 2022 levels and called for dramatic cuts to domestic spending unrelated to defense. The Biden White House proposed keeping spending at fiscal year 2023 levels for 2 years. The deal does not return spending to 2022 levels and instead keeps non-defense spending about flat, with current 2023 levels for 2024. There are no budget caps after 2025, just spending targets. For 2025, the agreement allows a small increase in non-defense spending of about 1%. The White House and Kevin McCarthy's negotiating team agreed on overhauling the country's permitting laws, an issue long advocated by moderate Democrats. The provision aims to streamline the environmental review process, designating a single lead agency to be tasked with environmental review that corresponds with a clear public timeline. Energy permitting changes are expected to speed up the time it takes to approve new projects which environmentalists have opposed. Republicans are touting the deal's change as the first significant reform to the National Environmental Policy Act since 1982. The deal also says that unspent COVID relief funds will be clawed back, a proposal made by Republicans and accepted by the Biden White House. The COVID public health emergency officially ended in early May. The exact amount available is unclear, but the Congressional Budget Office has estimated it's about $30 billion. Republicans have also sought to toughen and add work requirements for able-bodied adults without minor dependents applying for entitlements and benefits, including Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, and also Medicaid. The White House has pushed back. The deal does not add work requirements for Medicaid. Currently, people eligible for SNAP do not have work requirements after the age of 50. The deal would raise that age to 54. At the same time, SNAP would see temporary changes that eliminate work requirements for veterans and those experiencing homelessness, regardless of age. Republicans also wanted about $71 billion in IRS funding over the next decade to be cut, passing legislation to do so upon taking the majority in the House of Representatives and including the same cut in the debt ceiling bill the House GOP passed last month. They were targeting tens of thousands of new agents funded by the Inflation Reduction Act and even campaigned during the midterm elections on cutting the additional IRS funding, which was aimed at modernizing the IRS and improving enforcement against high-income tax cheats. Republicans told midterm voters that President Biden and Democrats planned to send an army of 87,000 IRS agents to audit everyday Americans to dig deeper into their pockets to pay for unfunded liberal programs like student loan forgiveness. According to Representative French Hill, Republican of Arkansas, who appeared on Space the Nation program the day after the deal was announced, the agreement would stop the first year of the 10-year increase in the IRS budget. He continued by saying that would be nearly $2 billion of spending stopped of that $80 billion that was to be spent over 10 years for hiring IRS agents. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. US President Joe Biden has set a bipartisan deal to raise the $31.4 trillion US debt ceiling and avoid default is ready to move to Congress and urged lawmakers to pass the agreement he struck with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. This is a deal that's good news for the American people, Biden said at the White House on Sunday night after a phone call with Kevin McCarthy to put the final touches to a tentative deal struck the previous day. It takes the threat of catastrophic default off the table, protects our hard-earned and historic economic recovery, Biden said. I strongly urge both chambers of Congress to pass this agreement. He added, he believed the House Speaker negotiated in good faith and expected him to have the necessary votes for the 99-page bill to pass. Asian shares and U.S. stock futures rose on Monday, buoyed by news of an agreement. Lawmakers in Washington were set to see the details of the deal with the aim of putting a bill to a vote as early as next Wednesday and avoiding a catastrophic and unprecedented debt default in early June. Both the House and Senate are expected to return on Tuesday after Memorial Day holiday. Kevin McCarthy said the House will vote on Wednesday, then send the bill to the U.S. Senate. Once the bill reaches the Senate, where Democrats have the majority, the pace of action will largely depend on whether any senators try to hold up the bill, possibly with amendment votes. That could tie up the legislation for a few days. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York warned on Sunday that due to the time it may take to process the legislation in the Senate without cooperation, senators should prepare for potential Friday and weekend votes. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell applauded the agreement and called on the Senate to act swiftly to pass it without unnecessary delay once it has gone through the House. Mitch McConnell said today's agreement makes urgent progress towards preserving our nation's full faith and credit and a much-needed step towards getting its financial house in order. Chip Roy, a prominent member of the Republican Hardline Freedom Caucus, tweeted that he would try to prevent the agreement from passing the House, but Kevin McCarthy dismissed threats of opposition within his own party, saying over 95% of House Republicans were overwhelmingly excited about the deal. This is a good, strong bill that a majority of Republicans will vote for. Kevin McCarthy said, you're going to have Republicans and Democrats be able to move this to the president. Earlier, President Biden told reporters, after attending the high school graduation of one of his granddaughters in Delaware, that there were no sticking points left between him and Kevin McCarthy.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, my dear friends. This is Youth Station. You are listening to IRB English Radio. I am Asma. Once more, I have the pleasure to be here in the house of all the youth.
And I'm Zainab with Asma, and it's a pleasure to be with her and co-hosting with her. Our favorite station, that is?
Youth Station, of course.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. How are you?
Well, life is moving as usual.
And I hope everything is fine with the audience too.
Inshallah. Inshallah, we'd hope so. There is this eternal fight between the heart and the mind. And it would never finish. And it would never cease to exist.
Have you had that?
Have you had that? Well, you'd better say, when haven't you have it, actually? Because it happens every day, every moment, every second. Yes. And all the people, you know, go preaching you like, okay, you have to live your life with your brain and you have to be so logical and, you know, do not pay attention to your emotions and feelings while I'm a cauldron of emotions. So
especially we have this. Our emotions work much.
But nowadays, you know, women are just making me wonder.
Why?
Because I guess there are too many women that have been having a good control over their emotions.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I guess it's a talent and it's a power.
Wow. So to protect yourself from becoming too emotional, what is important?
Well, to protect myself from getting too emotional, I usually... You know, it's just like your emotions are just like these wild horses that are running in a field.
Exactly.
And then you have to rein them in.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult, but you have to work on it. As you start to grow older and older, you start to have a better understanding of yourself. So you know.
Also, you have an understanding with the experience about your triggers.
Yeah.
What is triggering you? And especially about the people with whom you have some intense emotions.
Yeah.
And I think with that experience, you can work on it.
Mm-hmm. And it's what triggers that, you know, about when you take your major in high school, about when you're going to pick your friends, about when you're going to even go for a journey, where you want to go, where's your destination, and what kind of people you want to be with. Everything, I guess, is related to your emotions and would be engaging your emotions as well. But the thing is, how to make a balance between being too emotional and too logical.
Yeah. You know,
because both extremes are not good.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to be illogical, especially, you know, when you're loving someone.
Yeah, so it's good to be emotional.
It's good to be emotional.
Okay, I don't agree.
Yes, I know you disagree, but I do agree with this.
You know why? Because that is a life-changing decision that you're going to make. Yes, I agree that we must, you know, take care of love because love is an important thing. Love is the thing with wings. Without it, life is a broken winged bird.
Yeah.
So love is very important.
What a picture, what an imagery.
But the important thing is that you also have to think about the logics that are telling you everything. Because sometimes I see one of my friends was actually getting married, and then she was so in love with the guy that was proposing her.
Okay.
In a way that she did not pay any attention to any other factors. Just as I saw her status, I just remembered what Imam Ali alayhi salam said, that when you are in love, you just turn into a blind person. You did not see and
blind.
You did not hear anything.
Yeah.
And that's very true because, you know, as an outsider, what I see in that guy is that he is... an irresponsible person. He is not as the fancy person that she is trying to imagine him. But what she sees is an entire different thing.
Okay.
What she sees is a castle of all her dreams.
Yeah.
So in these situations, I do believe that we have to be logical, at least a bit, you know, just to give a touch of logic. It's
but
nice.
I think when you're in love, you don't. Nothing works when Imam Ali Sam says that your brain does not work, your ears, your eyes, everything turns blind. Where did you get logic from? I don't think there's logic when you are in love.
Yeah.
And it's not just being in love with your partner. It's also being in love with your kids, being in love with every person
your job.
Around.
Being in love with your job and then forget about your family. Forget about your own self. Forget about your health.
That's being dedicated.
When does it
you
come? Dedication
balance,
comes
you
from
can,
love, I suppose.
You can balance being dedicated and being responsible as well.
Okay,
like
before we get into a fight, I guess it's better for us to go for a sip of water for
yes.
change of mood. And then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Yes, what can I do to protect myself from my feelings that are so exaggerated and so heightened? Because some people are just like this. Yes, you're listening to Youth Station. Asma and Zainab are at your service, and we're talking about how to control our emotions and how to protect ourselves from excessive emotions.
What do you do when you have that?
I think I overthink.
You overthink?
Yeah, I overthink and overthink. And when I overthink, it's just like I have too many judges in my brain, and they start to reprimand me, to admonish me. And then when that happens, I prefer to be logical and, you know, as if I put my feeling in a prison and just look at it and torture myself. But then it's better than being tortured in real life.
Right. I take a deep breath.
And then what's the outcome of that?
I feel so relaxed. You don't know. Deep breath is in itself a magic. When you do it and how you do it. Like whenever I'm done with my emotions, I am at the peak and I am not able to get out of it, I turn towards the Qibla, I take a deep breath and I say, thrice, Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin.
Yes, Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin. That is, you're asking help from Allah. You're calling him by his names.
Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin, or the one who's a listener of the supplications of those who are, you know, in a destitute situation.
Yeah, the cry, he would listen to the cry of all those who are in a depressed situation.
Yes, I call him with different names like, Ya Asma al-Sama'een.
Yeah, the and one Asma who hears everything.
Yeah, Asma knows, because I have very deep faith in this verse which says that you call upon me and I'll answer.
And show me the way. You call him and ask him to show you the way. And that really works. But also another practical method that I have used is to, just as I said, to change your place and leave everything for a while.
Exactly. That's what I do mostly when I'm angry with something. Yeah. But yeah, anger is also an emotion.
The same thing. Yeah, it's an excessive sort of emotion.
Yeah.
And if you can travel, it would do wonders, really.
It will do. And I think self-care is very, very important. And traveling is one of the parts of the self-care. You travel, you give time to yourself. You give quality time to yourself, actually.
Yeah.
Because sometimes...
But don't get too indulged in quality time in a way that you would, again, get so synced into your emotions.
And at the same time, Asma, I think neglecting the negative thoughts is very, very important. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think that would do the trick if you neglect what is hurting you in emotions.
Yeah.
Because when you're overwhelmed, or I don't know, when you feel you are done with a particular thing,
you're at the end of the rope.
Yeah, you should be, I think neglect or noticing, first of all, notice your emotions and then neglect the negative ones. And again, that self-care, you can go for exercising.
You know, there is something.
I felt so good when I went for aerobics and when I went for swimming.
Going to gym is amazing, yeah.
So let's take a short break and we'll be back in a while. I am so emotional, and sometimes I have so bad emotional trauma. And I think this going for aerobics and going for swimming helped me a lot, Asma, when I was in any emotional trauma.
Yeah.
I was like...
Sport actually helps so much.
Yeah.
Because it, again, is going to help your brain to work more properly, and it would help your heart to actually work even better than before.
And you know, as again, Surah Ra'd says that his zikr, his remembrance, is the best thing that can provide peace to your heart.
Yeah, it's the best remedy.
Exactly. Mm. So yeah, I think remembering him.
You know, also there is another important thing that we should take into notice, and it is the fact that, okay, it's true that we say that excessive emotion is not good, but also to avoid your emotions, to neglect them every now and then is not a good thing, psychologically speaking.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, because avoiding them for too long, ignoring them, the right word is ignoring. Ignoring your emotions for too long is going to cause too much of traumas to start to exist in your mind. So I guess there must be a balance. And as I said, we know ourselves better. So according to who you are and what are the best things for you, what are the best ways for you to deal with your emotions, go for it, but just do not ignore it. Because
exactly.
Ignoring is not good. It would turn into complex into
right.
your brain. And then one day, after all, it's going to come into surface.
It is indeed. So I think we should be working with... So Asma, I think I would like to know from you, where do you think it's important to be emotional, not to neglect your emotions? Because right now you just...
You're asking the wrong person because I'm emotional in every step of my life. But I guess in our relationship with
other people... Where does it help you, basically? I agree with you that sometimes it's very important not to neglect your emotions, especially you can't be loving enough if you're not emotional. Love... does need emotions,
yes.
And I think there you don't need to neglect
so
it.
So you don't have to ignore any of them, whether your emotion or your brain. Both of them are going to work for your benefit. Just you have to know the way of how to make a balance between both of them. This
right.
is the important fact. So too excessively emotional people are always in danger. So try to protect yourself
they
from being...
They get hurt so much.
Exactly.
Asma has experience.
No.
Well, I too have.
No, because I know the way how to balance
it. I too have. Okay.
Yes. Anyways, we don't have time to fight over that. Protect yourself from the kind of emotions that are going to be so dangerous, that are going to put you, that are going to expose you into danger. And you have to find a way for it because you know yourself better than anyone. So just think about it and try to dig deep in yourself and find the ways into your heart and into your brain.
Focus on the positive thoughts.
Exactly.
Ignore the negative ones.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. Self-care is going to help you a lot.
Thank you very much for making the gist of the story. And that was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
Me too. I also bid you a farewell. Take very good care of yourself. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.